Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Today I want to start a new series of teachings that I've titled, Why We May Not Receive a Blessing from the Hand of God. That is, there are reasons why sometimes God wants to bless people, but they are unable to receive that blessing. And let me start by explaining the principle here. That is, God is very good, and God always desires to bless people. There's a statement of truth in John chapter 3, verse 16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Now, the idea behind that is, you see, that God is love. The Bible says, therefore, he loves, so he loves to give. Now, so you will see that when people don't receive, therefore, it is obvious that it is not because God doesn't want to give them, but because they have put themselves in a place where they cannot receive from God. You know, Isaiah said it like this. He said, "Is the hand of the Lord shortened that he cannot deliver?" He said, but no, what really happens is that people put themselves in a place where God does not stretch his hands to us to deliver. That is, it is draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That's the principle of life. That is, God is not the rate limiting step. Now, if you study chemistry, they discover what they call the rate limiting step in a reaction, a chain of reactions. There are steps that determine the whole pace of the reactions. And usually those steps are the slowest steps. When it comes to relationship between God and man, it is man that's the rate limiting step, actually. God wants to give, God wants to bless. And that is just the principle. That is why the Bible said concerning Jesus Christ, he said he came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. You will see that God sent Jesus as a blessing. For God so loved that he gave that they might not perish. He did not want them to perish, so he sent Jesus to them. And he said he came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, he gave the power to become children of God. Everyone that believes in him. That is, you will see the issue there is not whether God wants to give, but whether we are able to receive. And that's why I want to talk about this in this series. Why people may not receive from the hand of God. One, it is not because God does not want to give. It is because people are not doing what is right, or God sends a blessing and they refuse to receive it. Don't ever forget this. I keep on saying it, and we cannot say it enough. Blessing in life, prosperity in life, progress, success, like we are discussing the way of success, is not within a human being. It is God that blesses people. The Bible says that all good and perfect gifts come from above. It's from the Father of light. It is God that gives everything that you require in life. Even though it may appear that by your own energies you have been able to do something, it is not really you that did it. It is because God showed mercy upon the energy that you put in. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And that was the issue with Nebuchadnezzar, because that's one thing about human beings. Sometimes we don't understand this. You think, I am intelligent. I have always been intelligent. I read very hard. I have always read very hard. I work very hard. I've always been a hardworking person. Therefore, everything I have gotten is because I put in the necessary labor into it. Now, it is not really so, because there are people who work harder than you, who are more intelligent than you. In fact, I remember when I was a medical student those days, when I was in my psychiatric posting, there was one chap who was on admission in the psychiatric hospital. They told that he had the first class, I think, in engineering. When he did his master's, he was the best student in class. It was while trying to complete that he went bonkers. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? That is, you cannot say you labored more than that man. You cannot say that you exerted more energy than him, therefore you succeeded more than him. No. There is what the Bible calls God that shows mercy. If God doesn't show you mercy, your labor will come to nothing. The Bible says, except the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain that build it. Yes, men labor, we know. But the only reason why they labor successfully is because God is building with them. He said, except the Lord guards the city, the watchmen lay awake in vain. You may have security guards. I lived with a young man in the same building some time ago. I noticed something. He was very careless about with his house. Eventually, he wouldn't lock. In fact, he had these normal simple flush doors. He would just lock it. There were gates to lock, you know. And the young man wouldn't bother. So one day I called him and said, what's the problem? Why don't you secure your house properly? He looked at it. He said, look, any thief that can break that door, let him take whatever he wants. And that's whether he's sleeping in there or he's not sleeping in there. He had the same attitude. I asked him why. He said what formed his attitude was that he lived in Lagos, all right? And that his father had a friend, close family friend, who the man had all kinds of security gadgets in his house. He had a good fence. He had electrified barbed wire on top of the fence. He had CCTV, closed circuit TVs all over the house. He said, yet,
The dear thieves were going to come to the house. They greeted the man at the gate, followed him into the house. He took them to everywhere they wanted to go in the house. He says, since that day, he lost faith in all the security gadgets. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make here? So the man said, look, that is why he doesn't bother himself. That if anything wants to go, let him go and take what he wants to go. That he doesn't have time. He will not worry his head because of a thief. What he was saying is that except the Lord guards a city, the watchman lies awake, but in vain. Are you getting my point? That is, in life, we have to understand this. If God doesn't bless you, you are not blessed. I talked with a man once. He told me he doesn't fly around in Nigeria. I said, why? He said, because the planes often crash. And this was even before we had all the series of crashes we had in Nigeria some time ago. He said that the planes are not safe. I said, well, so how do you go get around? Because he really travels a lot. He said, I drive. That's how come I have a very good car. I looked at him. I said, what? You don't know that road traffic accidents are even more common than air crashes, and that the chances of dying from a road traffic accident is much higher than even if you said Nigeria, there are too many crashes. Is it safer to fly? He said, well, as far as he's concerned, he likes to have his destiny in his hands, so he does not use a driver. I said, you don't even use a driver. So you drive yourself, a man of your caliber. I said, what about thieves on the road? He said, I carry a gun. At the end of the day, I just told him in my heart, I said, sir, you need a lot of faith. You have none at all. What if you are going and you fall sick and you died? What will you do about it? You are a doctor, but you know there are incurable diseases that can come upon you and you will not be able to handle it. Listen, don't think you are smart. If God does not protect you, you are not protected. If God does not bless you, you are not blessed. If you've been protected up to this point, it is not because of those efforts you made. It is because God showed you mercy. Because the fact that you are doing some works does not mean God will not show you mercy. So you may be doing some work. That's why David said, except the Lord builds the house, the laborers are working in vain. Yes, we need laborers to work, but they will only succeed if God says they will succeed. Therefore, it's important for everybody. That's why I'm teaching the way of success. I know there are principles of business success. I know there are principles of academic success. But listen, first of all, you must be in tune with God, because every good and perfect gift comes from above. That's why when Jesus was speaking, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That is, I am the way to the Father. That's what he was trying to say. What was he trying to explain to us? That is, you need an introduction to the Father to succeed in life. Are you getting my point? He said, you need an introduction to the Father to succeed in life. So he told Philip, he said, I am the way to the Father. If anybody wants to come to the Father, he has to come by me. I mean, let me just take the time out this evening to explain some principles about Christianity. Because a lot of times people think that Christianity is what you call a religion. You fill a form. What's your religion? I am a Christian. What does that really mean? Most of us think that it just means I was born in a particular place. That is why you will see maybe a particular denomination, they will hold another denomination as enemies. Why? Because we're not born in that particular place. We're born into this one. As if Christianity is a birthright. The truth is that it is not. What is Christianity? Christianity is introduction to the Father. No matter the denomination you were born in, if you have not been personally introduced to the Father by the Lord Jesus Christ, you are not a Christian. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It does not matter how much money you spend in your church. It does not matter the titles that you were given. It does not matter that your great-grandfather held that title inside that same denomination, inside that same branch of that denomination. It makes no difference. That does not confer upon you the title Christian. What makes you a Christian is that you have been personally introduced to the Father by the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is the importance of Jesus introducing you to the Father? The Bible says that all have sinned and they have come short of the glory of God. Let me explain what that means briefly. Now, you see, when God created the heavens and the earth, after making everything, the Bible said that the last thing he did was to bless them. And he said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. That is, when I made the plants, I made it such that in its season, it will always yield fruit. When I created the man, I made it in such a manner that anything he puts his hand forth to do will always succeed. Like we said in Psalm 1, in all that he does, he would prosper. That is what it means to walk in the glory of God. But Paul now said that all have sinned. As a consequence of their sin, they became short of God's glory. Therefore, they will plant, but the weather will damage it. Therefore, they will plant. Locusts and all kinds of diseases of plants will come and damage what they have planted. They will get married, they will not be able to have children. They will start businesses and it will collapse. They will build a great house and one day, one natural disaster will just damage it. Paul said, this is the reason. All have sinned and they have come short of the glory of God. And that's what the Bible also calls perishing. It says, so that they will not perish, therefore Jesus came. What did Jesus come to do? He came to wipe away all the handwriting of ordinances written against people. That is, the effect that sin will have had in their lives, or that was having in their lives, he came to wipe it away. Now, let me explain this very properly. Sin is very powerful. Sin is a tangible force. Sin is not a moral question. Sin is a spiritual force. If a man does iniquity, he generates a curse for him in the realm of the spirit. If you listen to our previous broadcast, I talked about things like blessing. What is a blessing? Blessing is the empowerment to succeed in life. Blessing is what God gave to everything he created so as to make them function in the way he created them to function. That is what is called blessing. Now, what does sin do? Sin inhibits the blessing of God and brings forth the opposite, what is called a curse. That is, a man who is under a curse experiences the opposite of God's glory. For everything he sows, he gathers little. When he brings a little in, the Bible says he uses it to serve his problems. It's the day they pay him for the contract that all his children fall sick. It's the day they pay him for a job, that is when his biggest truck gets an accident. It's the day they pay him for this, that problem begins in his extended family, and they depend upon him to solve it. It's called harvesting and putting into a pocket that has holes. Now, these are all effects of a curse. Are you getting my point? Now, so what did Jesus Christ come to do? He says, so that they would not continually live under this influence, I have come to shed my blood. And anybody that has faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Bible says in the book of John chapter 5 verse 24, he said he has passed away from death into life. That is, when the forces of the curse will have been pushing him in a particular direction, by the power of the sacrifice of Jesus, he is moved in the other direction. Are you getting my point? Therefore, listen to me. If you are not experiencing the power of God in this regard, as a person, you are not a Christian. It is not that you go to church or you hold a title or the kind of robe that you wear. It is whether you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. I was saying about sin, that sin has an effect. It generates a force to move people in the opposite direction, contrary to the one that they desire. Are you getting what I'm going to say here? That is, what does the blood of Jesus do? It wipes away the ability of sin to hold people in bondage. Are you getting my point? He said this was why the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy all the works of the devil. Listen, the devil in himself doesn't have power. I know a lot of folks think that Satan is very powerful. The only power that Satan has is given to him by sin. Are you getting my point? That's what the Bible calls the power of death. That is, without sin, there is no death. What the devil does is to use the power of your sin to bring forth death in your life. Satan himself does not have any power. That was why before he could afflict Job, he had to go to God and say, is it not that you have defended him so much, so I can't do anything to him? Satan realizes that except God gives a man up, there is nothing I can do to him. And this is the way by which God gives a man up, or a man takes himself away from where God will have protected him. And that is what we call sin. Listen, sin is not a moral question. It is not whether somebody catches you or does not catch you. Sin is that you are injecting a negative force into your future. Sin is that the things that you have done today will find you out tomorrow, except you are forgiven by the power of the blood of Jesus. Again, let me talk about forgiveness. Forgiveness is not forget it. I don't let's talk about it again. No. Forgiveness with God is an active process. When God forgives you, he turns around and begins to clean the effect of the sin. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Listen, if you have been forgiven by God, the consequences of the sin has been eradicated. Do you get what I'm trying to say here? That you see, and that is not cheap. God had to pay for it. It's quite expensive. And that is the meaning of the power of the blood of Jesus. That is what it actually connotes. A lot of us think that the blood of Jesus is to fight our enemies. Listen, no. God never brought the blood of Jesus to fight your enemies. The one that you have been directing against your enemies have been a waste of time. Listen, your enemies are only as strong as your relationship with God is weak. The weakness of your relationship with God is the strength of your enemies. Do you get my point? That is, the strength of your sin is the strength of your enemies working against you. I am not afraid of witches. Let me say publicly, I am not afraid of wizards. There is absolutely nothing any witch can do against me. And as God lives, I have never prayed about them. They are not a prayer point. They are small, small agents of Satan. Are you getting my point? And they know where they should not go because certain places are dangerous. I always say any witch that wants to die early should come near my gates. I condemn him to death by the power of my righteousness. That is the power of the blood of Jesus. You are getting the point I'm trying to make here? Listen, we must understand the power of Christianity. Christianity is not a form we feel. Feel the form, your religion, Christianity. And then you have no hope in life beyond the one that the common person has. That is why I tell people that if you go around grumbling about problems in the society like everybody else and you call yourself a Christian, you are confused. You are absolutely confused. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That is, my faith must give me an expectation in life. Are you getting what I'm going to say? That when everybody says there is a casting down, I must stand up boldly that because the power of the blood of Jesus has delivered me from death, for me, there is a lifting up. Do you get my point? Listen to me, if you're a child of God, this is what Jesus meant when he said you are the salt of the earth. He said, when I see people like you walking up to your level, speaking according to my commandment, then I will have reasons to have mercy on your environment. Whether we like it or not, let me tell you clearly. I do not have time to go into the depth of the spiritual principles behind this. The reason why most African countries have problems is because of the sin of their fathers. The effect of which is being sustained by the sins of the current generation. Are you getting what I'm going to say? Listen, the poorest nation on the earth today is Haiti. They have tried all kinds of things. Americans sent their soldiers in to go and effect a change of government for them at a particular point in time. But prosperity does not come from change of government. At the end of the day, the man who was reinstated by the Americans turned out to be worse than the people they removed. If you are looking forward to a change of government for your situation to change, I'm sorry to disappoint you tonight. You are not going to see anything. A good government is a reflection of the mercy of God when he has set to bless people. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Haiti is so poor. Why? The seat of idolatry on the earth resides there. When you hear about zombieism, it's found in Haiti. When you hear about voodoo, it is found in Haiti. Haiti is where men use the depths of the powers of darkness to afflict their neighbors. How does it reflect? Bad government. How does it reflect? Economic decadence, plagues and problems and diseases and natural disasters everywhere. Listen to me, that's the power of sin. All of us go around grumbling, blaming one government or the other, blaming our friends, blaming society as if life owes us. I have told you again and again, you owe it to God in life to inject the force of righteousness into your environment. God said it like this when he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, I have heard of his wickedness. The wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah was so great before God, God had to come down to destroy it. Listen, if that happened today, they would have said natural disasters happened and wiped out a whole nation. People will say why. They said it is because the ozone layer was depleted. It was because a volcanic eruption began to shift. It was because ash was spilled somewhere in the middle of the Pacific Sea. And then all those ones are stories. What really happened, which would never have been reported, is that God came down, went to the house of Abraham, and said, I'm going to smoke those people. Why? He said, because of their iniquity. Are you getting the point I'm going to make? And God now said to Abraham, is there anything I can do for you? Abraham said, please don't destroy the righteous with the wicked. God said, no problem. If we find 10 righteous people there, I will spare the whole land because of the force of the lives of 10 righteous people. God went in there and did not find 10. Listen, natural disasters, therefore, were released. What in the insurance they call the acts of God. They were released and the two cities were wiped out entirely. Nobody survived apart from Lot and his family that God took out from the place. Are you getting my point? That is the power of sin. Someone will say that, look, what is wrong with the black man, self? I will tell you. What is wrong with the black man is that he has sinned so much. What is good with the white man, I'll tell you. Because his ancestors did good. They spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and their descendants are still experiencing the blessedness that came thereby. And listen, if they undo the works of their fathers, don't think that lack is a black thing. When we start doing righteousness, which is what we are preaching right now, you will see it. Prosperity will begin. And one day, listen, the white man also will start taking visas to come. You see, when you say things like that, for some people, it is beyond their imaginations. They have never seen, they don't believe it can happen, that a white man will beg for your visa. Let me tell you, civilization did not start with the whites. The Egyptians you heard about, they were not white. The original Egyptians were not Arabs, if you did not know. The ones that Joseph worked with, they were dark-skinned people. They were not Arabs. When you read your Bible, you read the story of Babylon, the great civilization of those days. That is where Iraq is today. Are you getting my point? Those who became wise used to go there for prosperity also. But when God decides to bring down a nation, the Bible says promotion does not come from the east or from the west. He said, but God is judge. He lifts up one and brings down another. So a time came, God looked at Babylon. He said, I'm about to bring you down. And Jeremiah prophesied, he said, thus will Babylon go down and not rise again. Any nation can go down. And usually when one nation goes down, another one rises. God said, how will I choose the nation that will rise next? It is by virtue of how the people therein are walking. I'm talking about the power of the blood of Jesus. Sin is what separates us from the blessing of God. Are you getting my point? Some of us, we perpetuate the effect of sin by bragging about the iniquities of the fathers. You know, some of our so-called African culture, they annoy me. Cultures of idolatry, African culture. We should respect our culture. Arrant nonsense. Culture that did not produce anything for you. We never invented anything serious. Yet we sit down and say, our culture. Did we not all descend from the same fathers? Are you getting my point? That is, what we call white men, if you believe the account of the scriptures, all of us, they came down from Noah. What happened? How come we not have different cultures? Listen, when a culture does not favor you, you jettison it. You drop it sharp. Are you getting my point? You move on to cultures that favor you. You move on to cultures of righteousness. I hope you are following what I'm going to say here. Listen, a culture that does not produce productivity in the lives of the people is a useless culture. It started, for information, when did it start? A few hundred years ago. Listen, anything that has a beginning must have an end. The culture started then, it has ended now. That's the simple thing. I hear people say that, no, I can never marry from anywhere apart from around my village. That is why you will never marry well. Your people don't produce the best wife or the best husband. What is your problem? Good wives and good husbands are coming from other. You say, our culture is the reason why the word of God has not been able to bless you. We will see more of it in this series. You hold on to things that don't satisfy, things that don't beget godliness, things that don't beget productivity in your life. It's our culture. Listen, cultures of iniquity is the reason why the people don't prosper. It's why God is unable to bless people. Listen, what is Jesus doing? This is what it means to be a Christian, that I've been introduced to God by the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he's pouring forth his blessing into my life. Are you getting my point? That I'm looking up to his hands for blessings from above. I'm not depending on what is going on around, but I'm depending on the mercy of God to pour forth prosperity upon me. That is what it means to be a Christian. A supposed Christian that wakes up in the morning and says that, this country is very terrible. And in fact, we can't make any progress here. We have to go somewhere else. The person is not a Christian. That guy does not believe in God. Are you getting my point? I want people to understand this. Listen, at the point of repentance, it's a great opportunity. It's an opportunity to make life appear as if you have always done what is right. Because this is the power of the blood of Jesus. It cleanses the nonsense that you have done in previous times and makes your life just new in the presence of God. And God said, this is one of my best people on the earth. Are you getting my point? So the man who was a crook yesterday suddenly becomes a prosperous man. He becomes a good man. He becomes a teacher of righteousness as if he had never done anything wrong. That is what Jesus does. That is why you must never judge a person by his or her past. You have to check, what does the person believe now? What is that person doing now? If he had encountered the blood of Jesus in the last few days, in the last few weeks, and his life has been transformed, the Bible says if any man or any woman is in Christ, he's a new creature. He said all things are passed away. All the effects of his sin, they have been abolished. Behold, everything has now become new. Listen, that is what Christianity is. Christianity does not describe the church you go to. There is no denomination that is of God and one that is not. Do you get my point? What matters is a personal commitment to God. That is the denomination that matters. I like one thing somebody said, you sleep in a garage, you have not become a car. Are you getting the point? No, that's not what I mean. If you decide to go and sleep in a poultry, you are not chicken, you are a human being. Do you understand? It is not where you go, it is what you are inside. It is what you really are that matters. It's not where you sleep. Maybe you are a government official, they send you on a course, they lodge in a 5-star hotel. When you come out from the course, you are back to sleeping where you used to sleep. If you are not a big man, going on course has not made you a big man. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? That is the way it is with Christianity. You go to a particular church, does not make you a Christian at all. What makes you a Christian is that you have confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It is that you have been washed by the precious, indeed precious blood of Jesus. It's that you have been introduced to the Father, that you are now walking with him. Listen, that is the first thing all right, that reunites you with the place where God can pour a blessing upon you. Don't forget, I said I'm starting to talk today about why you may not receive blessing from the hand of God. That is why people may be there hoping and wishing that God will shine a blessing upon them, but without realizing it, they are doing the things that will ensure that they never see blessing from God. Now, this is very important because sometimes there is what the Bible calls ignorance. All right? That God has mercy on the ignorant. That is, his mercy is to give information. Do you get my point? That he will let you know what you are doing that is not right. Elihu said it like this. He said, if any man is in problem or difficulties, if he's not receiving blessing from the hand of God, if he's not experiencing the manifestation of grace in his life, he said, the person should turn to God and say, I have borne chastisement, I will not offend anymore. He said, that which I do not see, teach thou me. If I have done iniquity, I will not do it again. That is, there are times you are doing things, you don't realize their iniquity because you don't see that what you are doing is wrong. But it is the reason why you are bearing chastisement. It is the reason why the blessing of God is not coming upon you. This is the mercy that God will show to you in the course of these teachings. He will bring some of those things up to your heart that you may confess it to God, that God may forgive you of them and cleanse you of the effect of that unrighteousness. Are you getting that point? What am I trying to say? Sometimes, I say this again and again, people are reaching out for blessing. They are begging for it and they are doing the very things that will take it away from them. Do you get my point? It's very sad. If I say this, it may sound very funny. But if you study the history of medicine, you know, these days, if somebody has an accident and it goes into shock, how do we treat? You transfuse with blood. But let me tell you, a few hundred years ago, if somebody is in shock, they remove blood from him. That is the life they were reaching out for. They were sapping it out from people. They were doing iniquity they did not know. There was a time that doctors, surgeons didn't use to wash their hands between patients. They were trying to treat people, yet they were by their hands transmitting one disease from one patient to another, to another. So a woman comes into the hospital to deliver. She lives there with sepsis. She dies a few days after. Why? Because the person she was looking at for life was putting death into her she did not know. And even he did not know. That is why it's so important I teach this series. All right? Why is it that I may not receive blessings from God? And oftentimes in life, God wants to bless people. He comes down with a blessing. But the people would not even as much as reach forth their hands to receive it. I read a story many years ago. I heard a story actually. Someone was illustrating something about the power of love. He said three people were waiting for the coming of the Lord. One called hope, one faith, and one called love. Let me not bore you with the whole story. Jesus came back as a poor person, a small person, or a child. Went to the house of the person of faith and said, please, can I come? He said, please don't disturb me. I am waiting for the Lord. He went to the house of hope. Hope said, please don't trouble me. I am waiting for the Lord. Then go to the house of love. Love said, I am waiting for the Lord. But you appear cold and hungry. Why don't you come in? Let us wait together. And the Lord came in and he turned out this was the person he was waiting for. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make here? That is sometimes in life, we are reaching for something and we are doing the very things that's taking it away from us. That is why it's so important. Number one point I've made today is that if you are looking for blessing, don't start with iniquity. A man wants to be rich, he said, the fastest way is to defraud somebody. The Bible said the man with an evil eye runs after money but does not understand that poverty will come upon him. He's running after money, but this guy is just begging for poverty. That is what the Bible calls double-mindedness. I'm asking for one thing, I'm doing the works of another. Jesus said, before you can receive anything from God, there are things you will do to qualify you to get it. There are blessings that will come only to those who are prepared for it. In fact, and I believe very strongly, if you have been praying for long, listen, God usually hears you on the first day. If the blessing has not come, if the answer hasn't come, it is because you have placed yourself in a place where it can't come. I hope you have understood that.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books, and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.